It has the notes for the sermon in it as well, so I want everybody to take a look there. Kind of printed them out a little different today. One side just has like a half a page on the right. That's the last page. This side is kind of even. That'll be your first page. That's what we'll kind of follow along with today. And I've been kind of struck this year in the idea that hell is real. Everybody's thinking, oh boy, this sounds like a fun sermon. Well, guys, it's just the truth, isn't it? You know, Jesus just, he spoke about hell. He told us very frankly about what it's like and that it is real. We like to talk about heaven a lot because we know it's real. And just as sure as heaven is real, hell is real as well. And in fact, Jesus spoke more about it than he did about heaven because he wanted us to know the truth. And so whenever we think about this subject, I want you to understand, there was a little question that came to my mind. What could possibly motivate Jesus to leave heaven and come down here to earth? You know, I mean, you think about it. It was the reality of hell, wasn't it? He loved us. Remember John 3:16? Can anybody recite that verse? All right, go ahead, B. There you go. God so loved the world, and he didn't want to see us perish. He wanted to see us have everlasting life. He knew, and he knows, that hell is absolutely the very real place, which is right, the right punishment for us if we continue to sin against a holy, infinite God. There's going to be an infinite punishment. A lot of times people say, well, that just seems too harsh. Well, we may want to reason it to be that way, but like the punishment is in accordance with the one whom we are offending. Okay? So let me ask you something. If you were to walk up and act ugly to me, or if you were to walk up and act ugly to the governor, which one do you think would be taken more seriously? I'd take it seriously if you acted ugly to me. But the law would probably think it'd be a little worse for you to be offensive or harsh to the governor or to the president or to a police officer because they have a place of authority which is higher than mine. Okay? How much more then when we think about God? How high is his authority? And so Jesus saw the situation and he knew the truth. The truth that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? All of us. There's not one of us that hasn't sinned. And because of that, the wages of sin is death. And that means a spiritual death, and it has to do with hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Both of these verses come from different places in the book of Romans, and it helps us to remember something. This is what motivated Jesus, the reality of this. So therefore, it should also be that which motivates God's people as well. Okay? If it motivated Jesus, then let us also be motivated by the reality of hell. See, Jesus came, And he was motivated by this reality to leave heaven to come and redeem a people for himself. That was his desire. Redeem means to pay for, to be bought back from slavery, never to be sold back to slavery again. Okay? So if in this Roman world, somebody was indebted, they had a debt they couldn't pay, they would have to be a slave to try to work it off, unless someone would come and pay their debt and buy them back, and if they redeemed them fully, then they would never be sold back into that slavery again for the same crime, I suppose you might say. So in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5, it kind of talks about this. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. You see, Jesus had to come to human flesh and be born under the same situation as us so that he could then redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. So we want to be children of God. That way we're not still under that curse. And so that reminds us of another truth. Only God's children get to be in heaven. Do I get an amen to that? Only God's children get to be in heaven with him. He's only got a place for his children up there. And here's the deal. He don't have grandchildren. That may sound weird, but I want you to think about that for a minute. That means God only has immediately adopted children. You don't get into heaven just because your parents did. You don't become a grandchild of God. You become a full-fledged child of God with all of the right and all of the inheritance rights as another child of God. So, like for our family, we have 8 direct descendants. And we don't have a whole lot of worldly goods to split up, so they're not going to get much of an inheritance. The more descendants, direct descendants that there are, the more it gets split up. But for God, who is an infinite God, he has the same reward for all of us. So millions of people who are his people, his children, now will have his inheritance as full-fledged children of God. And so we want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But I want you to remember, you're not going to get into heaven because your parent or your best friend is a Christian. You can only go to heaven if you are a child of God. Can I get an amen to that? All right, absolutely. It looks like they're getting ready to transport Brother Harold. Yes, sir. Said he didn't want to go. Okay. Men are going to go ahead and take him home. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's have another word of prayer for him. Dear Lord, just pray for Brother Harold, Lord, that you provide for him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's remember, God does not have grandchildren. And I think this is an important thing for us to understand, guys, because I think a lot of people are hoping that because their parent was close to the Lord or their grandparent was close to the Lord, that then they can be in heaven someday. My grandma went to be with the Lord on Monday, and so when she stood before God, she was judged according to her relationship with Jesus only. Didn't matter where her mother was, her father was, or any of her, the ones who went before her, or her grandson, or great-grandchildren, or what, that wasn't what God looked at her to see. He looked at her to see, was she herself a child of God through Jesus Christ? It's the only way for us to be there. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him alone. So Jesus spoke plainly about the reality of hell. A lot of times, you know, we kind of waffle and wiggle around this one. We don't talk about it a lot. It's not a comfortable subject, but it's the truth. And Jesus spoke very plainly about it. In fact, and we're going to go through a few verses here kind of quickly about this. Matthew chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So was Jesus plain enough? He said, don't be worried about what other people think of you, and don't be worried about trying to please all these people out there. Did you ever notice everybody has an opinion, right? They all have an opinion about what I should be like, what you should be like, and all this stuff. And you know, sometimes they may be being guided in from a good source. Sometimes they may not. The only one you really need to worry about is, what does God think? He's the one that's got the power over heaven and hell. Matthew 5, 29 through 30. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. This is called hyperbole. It was an exaggeration about cutting our hand off, but it was not an exaggeration about where we end up if we continue to sin and won't repent and give our life to Christ. You see, he was making an exaggeration on an earthly measure to help express to us how important it is that we don't miss out on this one opportunity that we have. We have one opportunity. And if we do not receive that opportunity to go to heaven, then we will be punished in hell. And hell is forever. It is very important that we understand that. How many of you would rather lose a hand but still go to heaven than to keep your hand and go to hell? Right? Well, I'll raise that hand right now. Absolutely. We would be willing to give whatever was necessary to know that we could live forever in a place that is perfect and has blessing rather than in a place that is suffering and burning forever. Some would argue and say, well, Jesus used the word Gehenna here. And I don't know if you've ever heard that one or not. People that don't want to believe hell is for real. There's a whole cultish false teaching out there on this, and they really want to force this thing of Gehenna, because Gehenna literally was the Valley of Hinnom, or the place where the trash dump was, where they burned all the trash. I'm just going to tell you, Jesus did point out there and say, you see that place where the fire never goes out? All day long there's fire burning. There's the smell of rotting flesh. There's the worm that's crawling through there all the time. What he was doing was picking an earthly example and saying, look, hell is worse than that forever. You see, that is just an earthly... this is the worst example I could give you. Hell is worse than that. That's why he gave that example. Okay? And it wasn't that it was going to be a temporary place, because other places it talks about forever, eternal. Just like we like to believe heaven is eternal, amen? Heaven is forever, and we all say amen to that one. So is hell. Matthew 23:15 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. He goes on in verse 33 of the same chapter, serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? These were the religious leaders, and he's saying, unless you truly have a relationship with me, even all of the religion of the world can't save you from hell. And not only are you going there, but you're trying to drag everybody else there with you. Guys, don't follow a religion. Follow Jesus, a relationship with him. That's how you will go to heaven. And if you don't, you'll go to hell. A lot would say, well, that just seems unusual, or that seems strange. Why is Jesus the only way? Because Jesus is the only perfect sacrifice who could have paid for our sins. Every other person dies because they deserve it. Jesus died not having deserved it, so he could be our substitution. That cross was ours. Hell was prepared for Satan and the demons and anyone who doesn't follow God. Anyone who doesn't follow God. When we look at Luke chapter 10, if you kind of follow along with your sheet there up on the board, and you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. Who hears you hears me. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So if we reject Jesus, we're rejecting the Father. We're rejecting our only salvation, is what this boils down to. There's only one last, that would only be one thing left for us, and that's to pay for our sin. And if we have to pay for our sin, it means hell. There's not a temporary payment for sin. There's only a permanent payment for sin. It's permanently Jesus, or it's permanently hell, and that is forever. When we look at Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 23, so it was, the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Where was this rich man? He was in a place of torment, wasn't he? He was in a place of torment instantly. Where was Lazarus? He was in a place of comfort. And true, this isn't the perfected heaven that we wind up seeing, or the perfected, completed hell, the lake of fire, because this is before the end of time. And so there is a place, it's a permanent place, because as you look at that story in Luke chapter 16, if you want to turn there, is there any solution that would help us get out of there? Some would say a whole denomination wants to say there's a purgatory, a holding place that's just temporary that we can get out of. But let's look at Luke chapter 16 a little bit. If you want to turn there with me. Verse 23, we'll pick it up. Luke 16:23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those who pass there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Guys, here's the deal. He's the only way. He's the only chance. There's no other way. And we've got the Word of God to explain that to us. And so, we need to believe him because as we see here, I believe this is an absolute true account. You notice this is the only place that Jesus tells a story like this and he uses the names of the people. Okay? We get the name of Lazarus. And then we get to hear just this rich man because really his name didn't really matter because he didn't receive the Lord. He did not look to God in faith. And so where is he? He's in a place of torment. He's in a place that's hot. He's in a place that's burning. He's in a place where there is no relief. A dip of cold water off of the finger of Lazarus would be relief to him. I want you to think about that for a moment. Sounds very dreadful. Can you imagine that forever? And he says there's no solution to the problem. So what we need to understand is this world is the proving ground. That's why we need to take it serious. And so as we continue on, I know you're thinking, isn't that enough? Well, apparently Jesus didn't think so because he continued to teach. He continued to tell us more. And so as I was making this sermon, you know, y'all know if you've come here very long, I've been here for 9 years and I've not spent a whole lot of time talking about hell because I'd rather talk about heaven. I'd rather talk about the relationship and what is in store for us. God said, are you any better teacher than me? If I talked about it, you need to talk about it. And so I want to just a few more scriptures here that Jesus talked about. And then he will answer them. This is from Matthew 25 about hell being forever. Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, he's talking about doing good to those who are in lesser circumstances, you did not do it to me, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So you see everlasting, eternal, the same basic root word there, either the punishment's forever or the blessing is forever. And there's not any change in it once we've entered into that time. So it's very important that we take it seriously. And again, in Matthew 25, later on in the same teaching, he says, Then he will say, I also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see the teaching that's coming across here? Jesus was telling us the truth. This is what motivated him to leave heaven and come down to earth and come and teach us and give his life for us. And, you know, in connection with this, so we see that there's this everlasting place of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. It talks about this later on in Revelation, doesn't it? And so I've kind of paired these two verses up. At Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night, say it with me, forever and ever. It goes on to say, the next slide, Revelation 20, verses 13 through 15, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. I kind of wonder if death and Hades isn't the same Hades where the rich man was awaiting. Kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? The very same word being used there, that place of the dead where they're being held. And there's going to come a time when this lake of fire is prepared, then they're going to be brought up to stand before Jesus. And they were judged. each according to his works. The death in Hades, then death in Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Praise God that he cast that into the lake of fire, because that means it's forever held there. Death will have no hold over us anymore after that. Praise the Lord. And this is the second death, but here's the one that gets us. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into that same lake of fire. So who was it originally prepared for? The devil and those fallen angels, those demons, right? We're all glad for that. They deserve eternal punishment, right? But guys, anyone who doesn't follow Jesus, too, is going there. I don't know about the rest of you, but this upsets me. This bothers me. Because I know lots of people who are not following Jesus. And I hate to be bothered by that thought. But if it motivated Jesus to leave heaven, don't you think it should motivate us to tell him? Motivated the King of Glory to leave his place in heaven and come down here and die for us. Let it motivate us to walk across the street. So the question I'm going to ask here, we're going to change gears just a little bit. How many sins does it take to go to hell? Even just one. I run into this a lot, and people say, well, you know, I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of bad things, but they ain't been that bad. You know, I've never committed murder or anything like that, they'll always say to me. Have you ever had anyone say that to you as well? That comes from a Catholic belief in mortal sin and venial sin or something like that. Some sins are so bad that you just can't, you know, you just can't. Jesus said there's only one unforgivable sin, and it's the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Who is it who tells you who Jesus is in your heart of hearts? It's the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, Jesus is the way, and he confirms it in your heart, and you say, forget it, I'm going to do my own thing, and you die like that, that one ain't going to be forgiven. You're going to hell. That's the end of the story. But if the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, Jesus is the way, and you say, I'll give up everything to follow him, whatever, my sin especially, amen? Put it on the altar. Say, God, help me with it. Then you can be with him forever. So how many sins did it take to throw Adam and Eve out of the garden? That kind of answers the question. One. It was the one sin of disobedience, and they were thrown out. That's our example. That's how many sins it'll take for us to be thrown into hell. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready for some good news yet? Okay, I know everybody's getting long in the face. They were when Jesus was teaching it to you guys. It's an upsetting teaching, but it's true. I'm ready for some good news, though. Here's the good news. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If God has stirred in your heart and you want to become a Christian, you want to be a child of God, he will let you. He says he will not turn any away who will call out in the name of Jesus, forgive me of my sin, be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you from this point on, Jesus. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Do you believe he rose from the dead? When you believe what you need to believe to be saved, just turn your life over to him as your Lord and Savior. And yes, it means you need to follow him. That's what he said. Follow me. Guys, here's the deal. If you're following him right now, it's only going to be natural to follow him on into heaven. Because you want to be with Jesus now. That's what makes the difference. If you want to be with him now, you'll want to be with him at the end of all of this. Now, there's a lot of people who just don't want to be in hell, and I don't blame them, but it takes a little more than that. You got to want to be with God. You got to want to be doing what he's doing. You got to want to be loving what he's loving. You got to be wanting to hate what he hates, because God does hate some stuff. That's where it's at. That's the good news. To anyone that calls on him, they can become the children of God. John 14 expresses it so well. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Say praise the Lord to that. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. In the way, you know. Thomas, like so many of us at one time or another in our life, said, just like this, Lord, we do not know where you're going or how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters, that's the gospel. Do you want to give your heart to Jesus? Do you want to follow him? I pray that you will. Have you handed out any cards last week? We started this last week. We had these nice cards that have our church name on them, and they also have a wonderful website outlined on the back. And I know Rob gave some out because he's asking for more. If you gave out any of these last week, even just one, raise your hand. All right, let's hand out some more. Anybody want some more? All right, brother. I'll give you a few more. Anyone else want some? All right. Even if you just lost yours and you want some, I'll give you some more. Hands up. All right. There you go. God bless you. I'm going to get some more. I'm taking the whole box. Guys, I've got 1,000 of these, and I've got 2,000 more coming. 2,000 more coming. Anybody want to help me hand these out? Guys, here's the deal on these. Last week, I handed these out. We played a little video on them. And if you look on the back side of that card as you get them, you guys want some of these? Or you got to help hand them out? All right. Here you go. You guys split those up and go find people with their hands up. Give them 5. All right? All right, I'll help too. But if you look on the back of the card, there you go. Did you get something last week? All righty. All right, this is real simple, guys. You can go up and ask somebody. Just real simple. Do you have a church? All right, you can say, do you have any spiritual beliefs? Do you have a church home? And if you look on the front of this, it has our church name, all of our church information that they would need to know to find our church. But don't stop there, even if they'll never come to our church. If you turn it over on the back, this is the best part of the deal. And this is for all of you, too. And I encouraged everybody last week, tune into this website and watch these videos one by one, okay? You don't have to watch them all at one time unless you just really want to. It'll take you a while because there's a gob of them. About any question you'd ever have about Christianity or the Bible or anything else is answered on this website. They do a great job. It's all biblical. It's all well done. They're good answers. And then that person will get some of the answers to their questions in the privacy of their own home where they're not feeling threatened. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but when somebody asks you a question, don't you like to know the answer? I hate not knowing the answer. They ask you a question, you don't know the answer, it makes you feel stupid. All right, so then we're afraid to even engage, you know, because we don't want to feel stupid. He wants 3 more. There you go. All right. And I've been getting some great reports back from those that have been handing them out, so please continue to do that. This is my desire. Everybody in our area and everybody that will take one of these will get one, okay? I want them to be able to get as many as they want to pass out as well. Because I believe that as people begin to watch those videos and get some of those questions answered, they're going to feel a whole lot more comfortable about getting to know more about Jesus and getting to know Jesus closer, okay? I'll just be honest with you guys. I'm not going to follow something I don't understand or know, okay? This was a stumbling block for me. As a young man, for a long time, I had a hard time following Jesus because I didn't understand why he was the only way. And then once I understood, I was willing. Because, there's a lot of religions out there, right? How come they couldn't all be right? once you find out the reason that it is truly because he's the only one that could have paid for our sins, it makes sense then, right? And I'm not saying that all things about faith are going to make sense. Some of it we do just have to take by faith. But there are a lot of answers to a lot of those questions out there. And a lot of these do a good job. Joe? Okay. We'll make sure. I will have these cards if anybody wants any. If you didn't get one and you want some, go ahead and raise your hand right now. I'll get them to you. I don't want you to miss out. Yeah, I got some young ladies back there, and I'm telling you, if they offered me a card, I'd take one. There's no two ways about it. So you guys want some? They did all that work handing out, and they didn't even take any for themselves. There you go. All right, and there's more available, so anybody needs them. I think that God's going to do a lot through these. But you know what? If we know hell is real, doesn't it make you more motivated to talk to others? It's the only chance they get. Do you know that person that you're looking at? It may be the last time that they have an opportunity. I'll tell you a little story. My uncle came through town, lived in out by the eastern side of the United States. He had lived in New Mexico. And it was my grandma's brother, his name was Mason. He came through, just stopped for a visit. Whenever I sat down in the room, I was a very new Christian, and I thought to myself, man, I need to talk to him and tell him what's happened to me, how Jesus has revealed himself to me and how I'm here to follow him. I didn't do it. I couldn't figure out how to bring it up, you know? I mean, you know, it just seemed awkward. Do you ever have a situation like that? You kind of felt like it, but you just felt awkward, and so you just didn't do it. Well, you know, he left that day, and I never saw him again, and he died 2 days later. So do you think I should have? Well, don't judge me. No, I think I should have too. But how many of us have missed opportunities? It just convinced me I need to make sure I make the best of it. Amen? Need to make sure I make the best of it. And that card, you know, it's pretty non-threatening. I'm not saying that card's a solution to everything, but it's at least a start. It's something, right? So let's go ahead and make a commitment to try to start up a conversation. We can hand them that. And if you'll watch the videos, you'll have better answers for people in the future too. Because a lot of us don't witness because we're afraid we're not going to have an answer for the questions they ask. I can tell you, don't ever try to fake it, okay? If you don't know, just say, I don't know. But I'll try to help you. I'll try to help you find an answer. That's a good one, okay? But don't just throw it out there and fake it, because we don't want to look stupid either, right? Let me tell you something, guys. We're not stupid, even if we don't know every answer. Okay? We got the answer to how you don't have to go to hell forever, but you can be in heaven with Jesus. That's an important question to have the answer to. It's better than the cure to cancer. If you had that, you'd tell everybody. We got something better. This one's for eternity. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to offer up the altar time. Dear Father, thank you that we don't have to be afraid of hell if we are a Christian. It is a reality, though. An entire world full of people, many of them don't know you. And so some would say, well, that seems unfair. It's not an issue of fair, it's an issue of what's just. Anyone who doesn't have someone to pay for their sins is going to have to pay for them themselves. And the cost is too high. The cost is forever. And so, Lord, since we know that and we know the way, help us to tell others about that way. And Lord, thank you for resources like these cards that can make starting up the conversation a little more simple. But it's still going to take us taking the initiative to do that. So I pray you'll give us the strength, the ability, the confirmation in our heart. And Lord, as we talk about this subject here today, there may be some within our congregation of people right here in this place that have not yet committed their hearts to Jesus. Lord, let them not be ashamed of that, but let them do something about it today. All they need to do truly is to surrender their heart to you. They can become a child of God. It's not just good people that go to heaven, because there's none of us that are really good in your sight. We've all sinned and fallen short. But Lord, it's those who are covered by the righteousness of Christ. So let the death, the blood of Jesus cover me, and I will be acceptable in your sight. Because just as his death, his payment for my sins, are covering me, so is the fact that he was resurrected on the third day, so shall I be resurrected into eternal life. Not because I'm good enough, but because you're good enough, and I am found in you. So Lord, please, if there's anybody that wants to submit their life to Jesus, let it be today. Help us to be faithful in telling others as well. We don't have to have the answer to all the questions. We just got to know the answer to the one question. And then we can help them find other answers. Thank you, Lord, for showing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing, all that can. If anybody wants to come to the altar and pray, it's open. God hears your prayers.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He shed on our way. Let us do His good will. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, I got one more piece of good news for you. All right, before we find out who's got a birthday or anniversary today, I got one more piece of good news. Do you know that nobody has ever done anything so bad that God won't forgive them if they repent in Jesus' name? I want you to know that. Guys, none of us are too far from Jesus that He can't save us right now. Isn't that good news? Because I've done some bad stuff. Amen? Hey, you can say amen to it. It's all right. You have to. We all have. And thank God His grace is complete. When Jesus died on the cross, He said, "It's finished." Everything that needed to be done to pay for our sin was paid for in full. What an awesome thing. Awesome thing. So do we have any birthdays?
Birthdays. John.
for this one. I appreciate you coming. Happy birthday.
Thanks.
Mine's Wednesday.
Yours is Wednesday, Daniel?
Mine's on Friday, but I'm not going to be here this next Saturday.
Next week. When was yours?
It's going to be Tuesday.
Tuesday. Anything you'd like to say for your 25th?
It's like actually my 7th 25th. So. Thank you all for being such an encouragement and just a blessing to us in this time and to Mom and Dad all the time and our family. It's you all truly are family, and I'm just really thankful for Jesus for bringing us all together.
Amen. Praise the Lord, I'm still here. I've had quite a few close calls.
All right, well, let's sing happy birthday here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Lord bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Born again means salvation. How many have you? Look, Dan, out there, all the smiling faces.
How old are you going to be, Dan?
How old?
16.
16. Woo!
Another vehicle on the road. Look out. He says, look out.